Hello and welcome to the Pugsley Crew Reviews podcast, where we talk about all manner of films, whether they're good, bad, or in between. We'll give them a watch and give you our honest opinions. Today, I am joined by Gur9000. How are you doing, dude?
Oh, chap, I'm doing well. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Just chilling out. Well, obviously, we haven't done this for like a month or so. I haven't really done a lot of anything in the last month. About a month ago, I broke my foot.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, and then they were like, just keep your foot elevated for however long and so on and so forth. So I didn't bother, like, watching anything or playing any games. I watched TV with the missus mainly. But I didn't bother doing any of this stuff because I couldn't be bothered to sit by the PC and work on things where the doctor's like, keep your foot elevated. I was like, all right, fine. And then I sit over on the settee with a puffy and my foot up.
Yeah.
So, yeah. There you go. Well, that's my fun, which isn't too bad, dear. Considering, like, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm not doing too bad.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Lot going on, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that understandable. I'm not going into details because it's no one's business. And if people want to know, Kerr's been on a killing spree and murdered 16,000 people. Probably in like Fortnite.
Well, probably, yeah. All things considering, you in particular have done very well keeping this podcast going, because I was reading all the stats on podcasts and it was something like only a minute percent of them get past the third episode. So,
well, this is the 43rd, I think, and the game one is on 41, which it should be higher, but the game one is a lot more, a lot more difficult to sort. Like, it's easier to sit down, watch a film, talk about it, than it is to get two people to play, because of the way I do the podcast. Whereas a lot of game podcasts are, we'll talk about certain things, like various different topics. Mine is, we specifically pick a game, we play a game, we talk about that game and a couple of other bits. And I feel like it's putting a lot on other people. Like, I don't mind doing it, but other people, I feel like a bit of a douche when I'm like, hey, can you do this and stick to this game and play this for 2 weeks and then we discuss it? I feel kind of like, I don't know.
It's a big commitment, isn't it?
It is, yeah. If it's a, it's
play
much
a 40-hour game, it's a big deal. If it's like, in this case, was it about a 70-minute film?
Something like that, yeah. 115 minutes, which is 75 minutes, but then there's the credits. Yeah, that's the thing. I feel like I'm putting a lot of, not a pressure on people, but that's the best word I can think of, pressure on people to then take part. So, like, I don't do as much as I would like to, because I would like to do it, like, every 2 weeks, consistently. Yeah. But, yeah, it's just getting people to take part and get in the games and, you know, not feeling like a dick doing it. I should care less and just be like, hey, fucking do this, bitch. And then if they say no, I'll walk around and slap around their face. Let's walk all the way across the country and, you know, other countries and slap people who don't take part in my games podcast. Well, enough about that anyway. The film we are discussing today is called The Velocipasta. Had you heard of this film? Neither had I. Me and Kerr are both members on a video games forum that talk about games and stuff. And it's called G Arcade. We've probably mentioned it before. There's a WhatsApp group for quite a few members of G Arcade. Anyone from G Arcade can join the WhatsApp group if they want to join it. Basically, someone on there said, I watched Velocipasta the other day, and I was like, ooh, that's my next film on the podcast. Because it sounds fucking awful. But yeah, that's basically how this came about. Oh, there you go. So basically, this film starts off with a priest or pastor, even, coming out of a church. Well, he does a little sermon, then he comes out of the church, sees his parents get blown up. Obviously, they didn't have the budget for it, or they thought it'd be funny to just pour in a text effect that just says VFX car on fire.
Yeah, that was weird because it's the only time they did that in the whole film. I thought, is the whole film going to be like this, where it's going to come up and go special effect, head pulled off, or...
I don't know. I thought maybe it would be like a running gag, but it seemed to just be the one-off. They probably didn't have the budget to do it, so they probably thought, do you know what would be funny? We'll stick this in there. Because it's not exactly a high-budget film, is it? You can see that straight from the off.
Apparently, it's between $35,000 to $45,000 in budget.
It's low budget, but not really
low
budget.
Some stuff we've watched, isn't it? We've watched far lower.
Yeah, that's true. We've seen some films that have been filmed on a home camcorder with no budgets. But yeah, I thought it was a bit strange that with the VFX car on fire, because like I didn't find it funny or anything. I just thought, that meant to be there. I thought that it was placed there and they forgot to take it out or something.
Yeah, I mean,
it had the real effect.
Years and years ago, I'd get dodgy pirate discs from someone, and sometimes you'd get films that hadn't. What was it? It was something I watched. It had still got like the strings in before they'd been painted out when someone had like flipped or something. It might have been an early Star Wars or something. And I thought, hang up a minute, is this like? And then I thought, well, no, I'm on Amazon, so it's it's clearly the real deal.
Yeah.
If you'd have sent me this online and it hadn't come from Amazon, or I'd have found it somewhere, I'd have thought, well, I've not got the full version. I've got a unfinished.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense. But it cuts from that to Doug, which is the name of the pastor that is the main character, and another pastor whose name I forgot to write down. To them having a conversation, he's saying, go away, and if God still finds you, come back, kind of thing. Because he's like, I don't know if I can believe my God, who just blows up my parents in a car. And
he's passing him the wine, didn't he? Oh, just have a drink.
Yeah, brilliant. But so he goes off to China. And a woman is, like, he's just walking around fine enough, and then all of a sudden, this woman is running as if being chased by someone, and then you see the someone shoot them with a bow and arrow. I'm pretty sure they're a ninja, which you do see throughout the film, see ninjas and things, which I'm pretty sure a ninja are Japanese, not Chinese.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. I'm not sure. I genuinely think this was purposeful. I don't think it was like, oh, there's no difference or anything like that. Because later on in the film, spoilers, it comes to the Chinese person is speaking to the old pastor. And they're talking about they're training ninjas and dealing special cocaine. But they can get everyone hooked on this cocaine. Then remove the cocaine from the streets or everyone becomes Christian. So I think they've just taken bits and bobs of different things and just put it on this Chinese conspiracy. Because at the end of the film, they're saying like, oh yeah, the church is still after you and the church will do this again. So these Chinese people who are also ninja are also Christians and part of the church.
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy. It really is. It makes no sense, but it's crazy.
This beginning bit, though, where the woman falls down in front of the hero, is one of my favourite bits because she's absolutely covered in blood. The arrow's sticking out of her. And what does he go? Are you hurt? Yeah, no shit, there's an arrow coming out of me.
Yeah, and then she's speaking to him in Chinese, and he's like, I don't understand what you're saying. And then she just says, Dragon Warrior, and then gives him the stone, the what looks like a tooth, or sliced tooth or something. And then he somehow manages to cut himself on it. And then he, like, shows him waking up then, back in the church he was in as a pastor. And you think, oh, okay, that's weird. How the hell did he get there? I thought he'd have woke up somewhere in China. Yeah. But it just goes, oh, you've been having that dream again. It's been, like, a few months now or something silly like that, they say. So you're like, okay, so he... What happened there? What happened in that time span? Like, I don't know. But it then goes to show Carol, I think her name is.
Yeah.
Which is a prostitute. That is like a supporting character who is seen through quite a bit throughout the film. And she's like, gives some guy some money because he's homeless, and he's like, oh, you're from God, you've been sent from God and stuff. And then you find out she's a hooker after that, to be fair. And she walks up to some guy called Frankie Mermaid. And she walks up to him and like says something, and he turns around and just slaps her across the face. He's like, don't you question me. Yeah, proper bitch slap across the face. And then he's like, don't you answer me back. And I was like, she hadn't said it. She's asking what's happening or something like that. And then he's like, you know why they call me Frankie Mermaid? And she's like, got to put a lolly in her mouth. And goes, I can't understand you. And then she's like, because you're swimming in bitches. And then I thought that was brilliant because I'm swimming in bitches.
He was kind of a shit actor, but he was kind of obviously loving doing it. And yeah, that just made it amazing.
It did, yeah. And they have a brief conversation about where she's going to be doing her hooking? I don't know the term.
Turning job. Tricks.
Turning tricks they use, yeah. And she says in the park, and then she walks off, and then he turns to someone off screen. I think their name was Jerry, and he goes, yo, Jerry, if you stuff dicks in your mouth like you did that sandwich, I'd be a fucking millionaire by now. And I was like, wow, I genuinely started pissing myself. And Mrs. looked at me stupid as if saying, this is shit. And I'm like, no, this is shit, but it's fucking funny.
There's shit and boring, and then there's shit that really hits the mark, which is just goes the other side of it and is comedic genius.
If you stuck stuffed dicks in your mouth like you did that sandwich, I'd be a fucking millionaire by now. That's brilliant. Because he's a pimp.
Yeah.
It then cuts to evening, I think. I think it shows the guy, Doug, the pastor, he like has an issue about being hungry earlier on. And he runs off, he runs past that Carol and the homeless guy, and then you don't see him for a little bit, and then it shows him in the park area, and like some guy grabs Carol, because that's where she's turning tricks, and he grabs her from behind, and he's like threatening to kill her, or give it if she don't give him her money. And then all of a sudden the pastor shows up as a velociraptor, kicks his ass, and this being the first death of the film, you see like stuff happening a bit, kind of out of focus. Then you see what is blatantly a mannequin head rolling across the floor. They don't even pretend like to do anything to it. They just put fucking fake head roll across the floor.
And they did quite a good job with the. Because when you see the costume later, it's shit.
Costume is awful. Yeah.
But when you see it early on in this bit, and you're just seeing a flash of a mouth and a flash of a claw, and it's dead dark, and it wasn't half bad. It stuck to that whole movie thing.
It was definitely better. I think that's the good thing about showing little bits in flashes in the dark. It's like keeps it a bit more mysterious. But it's not a great costume by any means.
No.
But it's better in that earlier scene than when you see it properly.
I think I'd have tried to never show it, and I think I'd have tried to have splattered it in fake corn syrup blood to hide. It's the eyes on it. The eyes on it are awful.
Yeah.
And the humpback. The eyes and the humpback.
I don't know why it's got a humpback, probably because of the person standing in it. Probably like the person's just standing straight, so they've had to give them a humpback instead of making them stand weirdly.
You know when they start and the pasta, you get the scenes where the pasta's changing into the monster.
Yeah.
It's very Incredible Hulk-like. It reminds me of the old Hulk TV series.
Oh, with Lou Ferrigno?
He's like getting angry and then his eyes look a bit funny and he's like... I do think they were trying to like show the transformation start as the person changing before then pulling out the rubber suit. And it's not bad for what it is. Until you show the full suit.
Yeah, definitely. It then goes to Pastor going back to the church after the pastor wakes up. I don't know why I keep calling him the pastor. Doug wakes up in bed. You're like, okay, how is he in bed all of a sudden? And he wakes up in the... what's her name again?
Harold's
bed. And he's talked to her like, oh my God, because he's naked. And he was like, oh my God, saying about various things. And she's on about what he did by turning into a velociraptor and killed the bodyguard. And he's talking to her as if they've had sex and he doesn't remember properly.
Oh, it's a brilliant crossed wires conversation.
Yeah, it is. But at the end, he's like, oh, you know, she says something and he's like, oh, was it that bad? And she's like, yeah, it was really bad. And then he's like, was it your first time too? And she's like, wait, what are you talking about? And she's like, and then he goes, what are you talking about? And she's like, no, when you were a velociraptor and killed that man. And he's like, dinosaurs didn't exist. So I couldn't be a dinosaur because they don't exist. And I was like, oh, fair enough. I think they believe that, some Christians. I don't know about all.
Yeah. They believe that dinosaur bones were put there essentially by Satan to make people believe in fake stuff and not follow the teachings of the Bible or something on those lines.
Yeah. Obviously, he leaves with her to see the dead body because he doesn't believe it. Then he's dressed in really skimpy ladies' clothes because she obviously hasn't got any men's clothes for him.
The bright orange one-piece mini dress combo, isn't it?
It is, yeah. So they look at the body. He freaks out and leaves to go back to the church. And who's in? He goes in to do confession because that was what he was doing. He was late for it. So he sits in there and then guess who's on the other side to confess? It's Frankie fucking Mermaid. And he don't give two fucks. He's sitting there smoking, even though he's been told to smoke. He can't smoke in there. And he's like, I can't remember exactly what he says. He said, no, he's like...
Oh, it's an amazing confession. He took candy from a baby and then he threw the baby in the river so it couldn't do no snitching or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Frankie was actually a funny character, like... Yeah, genuinely. And he's sitting there and he's like, oh, Frankie, do you know why Frankie can smoke? Because he's fucking hot or something like that. And I was like, that's not a bad one, but that one was good. And then he starts to go, oh, you know, I've killed people. I raped people. I don't know if he says that. I've done fraud. I've done this. I've done that. And he's like, oh, well, you've killed people. And he's like, when was the last time you killed somebody? He's like, oh, well, it was about 4 months ago. I blew up this old couple. And then this priest came out of the church crying, "Mom, Dad," as if they were his fucking parents. That's like what he was. Why would he be like, as if they were? He's fucking stupid. Like, if you show him mother, father, then obviously it's his mother and father, not just some random people that he's calling his mother and father, you know? And then obviously he loses it, and then his hand turns into raptor hand, and he slashes Frankie's face, which, to be honest, the visual effects, they looked a bit wonky. They look very stuck on to me.
I love the death scream, though.
Yeah.
Frankie nailed a wonderful death scream.
Yeah, it was so over the fucking top.
Oh, yeah.
And obviously he goes back to Carol, the Doug does, the pastor, and they have a conversation, and he's like, oh, we could do this, we can do good, because that's what she's saying earlier. It's like, we can do good, we can take out the bad people, we can deal with this and that. And then at the end of the conversation, they're talking about God and whatever, and she goes, I don't know much about God. And then he turns around and goes, I don't know much about dinosaurs. I was like, what the fuck? There's some brilliant fucking, like, one-liners and, we watched our Irish karate film.
Fatal Deviation.
And that had some one-liners in it towards the end. They were fucking awful. This, I genuinely pissed myself laughing because I was like, I don't know much about dinosaurs. And it's like, what the actual fuck? And then they stand and they stare at each other. They're like, oh, they're going to start kissing. And they just give each other a high five, and it cuts to the next scene. And this is where it shows a lot of the... It cuts then to the next scene, which is like the Chinese people training, and they clearly ninja. And I was like, are these... my notes were, are these Chinese people, but also ninja? So I was very confused until, like I said later on, where it just seemed to slap different things together and just said, yeah, these Chinese people are ninja, as well as Chinese, as well as Christian, as well as special cork dealers. And it's just like, yeah.
I also think only two of the actors are actually, and I don't even have the Chinese, but Asian looking.
Yeah.
The bald-headed guy, and then there's one ninja. I'm sure the rest of the ninjas are just white guys in ninja outfits.
Yeah, I think pretty much. I think there is a couple there, because there's a scene later on where there's this Asian guy who's in a ninja outfit, and they attack Doug, three of them. And before they attack, this one of them is giving instructions, and then it shows the Asian guy looking off into the distance, having like a flashback of, oh, this is where, I didn't catch the name, told me I was going to die.
Yeah.
Just thinking back to that.
That was weird.
Yeah.
But it is like they just kept throwing ideas on it. It's like, let's have a dinosaur. Now we'll have some ninjas. Now we'll have telekinesis. Now we'll have...
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, that was weird as well, actually. We get a lot of that. But there's a point where it cuts back from all that stuff, and he goes back to the past, and he's like, the old past. He's like, you need to, you know, sort yourself out. You're not coming to church as much, and blah, 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 blah. And he then tells... Doug then tells him exactly what's going on. And he's like, nah, you're crazy. This can't be happening. And if it's something inside you, it needs an exorcism, because clearly it's the devil. And then he locks him in there. And then it cuts to another scene. And I'm 99% sure I saw the top of a boom mic pop into the scene and then out again.
Oh, dear.
I meant to check it back to see if I did see it, but I couldn't be asked. And it's brilliant. And then obviously the next scene is Carol waiting outside for Doug. Doug doesn't show up, obviously. He's been locked inside by the other priest. And then it cuts to the next scene where Doug and the priest, pastor, go to another guy for exorcism. And it then, while they're talking, Doug and the other guy, it has a flashback to, I think his name was Sam, his past, and he's like on about the war, and he's like, war is war. No, war is war, and war is hell, and hell never changes. And I was thinking, no, it's war never changes, mate. Yeah, but war is hell, and hell never changes. And I think that's a nod to Fallout, I know.
Oh, yeah, said so. Definitely.
But it showed the pastor, I think his name was Sam, it shows him, and this is meant to be like several, like 20, 30, 40 years ago, or whatever. I'm not sure exactly how many. But like a long time ago in like Vietnam or something. Because I don't think it's meant to be Afghanistan or anything, or Iran or anything like that.
No, I'm pretty sure it's now.
So it's like fucking 50 years, 40 years, like, yeah, something like that. 80s, wasn't it? Vietnam. 60s? 70s? 80s? 80s?
It's got to be 70s, 80s. We look sad now that we don't know when a major war happened, but I suppose England weren't really involved, was it?
Yeah. But it's the same actor. They didn't use a younger person, they used the same older actor. He has a really fucking awful wig.
Yeah.
It just looks shit. The wig is done on him so badly that you can see his real hair quite a lot at the time. That's one problem. Then they seem to just colour in his moustache. And he still looks just as old. They didn't even try to make him look younger.
Nah.
And I was like, bam. That's not lazy, but the staff, they should have used a different person, I reckon. Or, because obviously they'd have the budget to, like, CGI him younger. And then he's in the
It might have been easier to make him look older for the rest of the film, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Chuck another wig on him.
Yeah.
That you can see his real hair underneath. And then he's having this conversation. He's having a conversation with this guy called Ollie, and Ollie's like, yeah, blah, 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 so on and so forth, because they talked about how people have died and that. He's like, when you have a kid, when you have 5 kids, when you have 700 kids, whatever he says, something like 174, I think it might be. And he's like, name one of them Ollie after me. And then you could tell him about how you were named after a great guy and all that sort of stuff. And then he says something along the line of and you tell him how he was never hit once in the war. And then all of a sudden his head just explodes. Blood sprays all over the pastor's face. And you're like, ah, poor guy. I did laugh. And then he's like thinking about a tech, because he's telling him about his girlfriend or wife back at home called Adeline. That's what this was all about. And then all of a sudden he's in Nam, and he's in a different part of Nam, and they're at the barrack, I think. And then I'm like just chilling out. And then all of a sudden he sees Adeline. I don't know how she's there or why she's there, but she starts running over to him, and they're like, oh my God, oh, happy. And then Adeline literally gets a foot or two away from him and just fucking explodes.
Oh, it's just explodes into mist all over his face and everything. It's so...
Yeah, it is. I pissed myself laughing at that. I didn't expect it to explode. Like, I thought, oh, she's going to get shot or something. But the over-the-top way she fucking exploded was brilliant. Genuinely brilliant. And what was funnier was the two other soldiers were there. The second one said, because one of them said something, but I can't remember what that was, but the second one said something along the lines of, I don't think we can help. She's too far gone. She's too far gone. Genuine comedy in this. Obviously, this is all this is like a flashback. After all the flashback happens, it goes boom, back to the present. Doesn't boom, I don't know why I said boom. It goes back to the boom, doesn't boom. Adeline boomed. But it goes back to the present, and it shows them doing the exorcism. Things are happening. The old pastor is like, oh, we need to stop this because something's wrong. And then Doug's hand turns into a raptor, hands turn into raptor hand. And you can clearly see they really bad gloves in this scene. Like, in the scene in the confession booth or whatever it's called, that I don't remember the gloves looking so bad, but in this you could see like they were like loose on his arms and stuff, so it was like quite badly done. They could have like maybe taped the gloves down and some makeup on it, or maybe they wanted it to look like that because they thought it was fun or funny. I don't know. But yeah, that scene was a bit daft with the gloves. But Doug rips out the old guy's eye. I thought it was both, but it was only the one.
Yeah.
And he leaves because he's like, for some reason, really fucking crazy right now. And then I think that's where he ends up in Carol's room. Because he's all freaked out. And Carol's there. When she walks in, she turns around. And for some reason, he's covered in newspaper. While he's on the floor. And I'm like, why is Doug hiding in newspaper? That makes no sense. Like, where did that come from? He could have hid under the bed. He could have just sat there in the room. But for some reason, he's covered himself in loads of paper.
That's weird. I don't know with this film and a lot of films like it, how much is played for being funny crap and how much is just they're trying to make a good film, they don't have the resources, so it ends up funny crap. Sharknado's the start of this to me. I think like most things before Sharknado was people genuinely trying, and then Sharknado kind of went, we can be shit, and that be the draw.
Mm. Well, to me, this isn't like Samurai Cop. It was we watched before, then.
Yeah,
that seemed to be a film that was played straight and was funny because of it. This seems like it was intentionally trying to be like a piss take of things, including itself, more so than them trying to be serious and it being legendary like Samurai Cop. It seems like a mix, like they've tried to put some seriousness in there, but they've also taken the piss. And I think from my outside perspective, I think that is what they've gone for. Like, this is played for laughs a lot of the time, whereas obviously Ninja Cop is more Samurai Cop. Is this Samurai Cop or Ninja Cop? Because I'm sure Ninja Cop's a film as well. Samurai Cop is more, this is going to be a fucking amazing masterpiece of storytelling, and it was just cheese throughout. Obviously they'd attacked by the ninja. This is what I was on about, where the flashback at, like the small flashback at him to his wife or girlfriend saying, this is where you're gonna die, kind of thing. And it then shows the Chinese old guy and his second in command, which is some white blonde-headed guy.
It's Doug's brother.
It is Doug's brother, yeah. You find that out later. And I fucking love the scene where he's like remembering his brother. Oh yeah, we did have a brother, because there's one scene where the father's hugging him. He's like, oh, you're my only child or my only son. And then the other son like pops his head up from the boot of the car. Like, is like, what the fuck? It also made me think, when they blew up the car, why, if he should have been in there as well, unless he got out and fucked off. But it's like, you're my only son. And he's sitting in the back of the car, the other one. So I can understand why he's pissed off. But there you go. But they end up going to China. The old pastor is somehow still alive. He gets killed by the Chinese guy who explains the story about the drugs and the getting people hooked and then making them turn to Christianity by like getting rid of the drugs off the streets and that kind of thing. And then somehow within minutes, Doug and Carol turn up. They get into a fight with the Lords of Ninja. This is where you find out that Doug has a brother. And he's like, pulls out this cool fucking sword. And he's like, I don't need to use my ancestor's sword to kill you. Chucks her on the floor. They fight for a bit. then he like looks at the sword, and then Doug just goes, puts his hand out, and the sword flings into his hand. And I was like, since when was Doug able to use the Force?
Well, it made me think, have you ever seen Hawk the Slayer?
I'm not sure.
Oh, we need to watch that for this sometime. It's an old fantasy film. It's most known, I think, nowadays for... Do you remember the Simon Pegg show, Spaced?
Yeah.
There's a conversation in that about how he punched someone for saying Hawk the Slayer was shit.
Oh, yeah.
But Hawk the Slayer's got a sword called the Mind Sword. And it's a sword, and there's a green stone in the bottom. And the green stone makes it come to the wielder's hand when they like will it towards them.
All right.
And that just made me think of this. And any reason to mention Hawk the Slayer is a good thing.
Yeah. But Doug says to him then when the sword goes in his hand, which I thought was a bit funny. Not hilarious, but a bit funny. He's like, the blood of your ancestors is the blood of my ancestors. I like how for fucking, like, the entire film, it shows flashbacks of him and his brother, but it never shows his brother, which, again, is the point. But it's like, it's as if he doesn't even remember having a brother. And then he's like, oh, wait, yeah, shit, I did have a brother. But, yeah, it's cruel.
Also weird how Carol the prostitute is like this amazing kung fu fighter.
Yeah, I actually got my notes. Like, how the fuck are Doug and Carol suddenly so capable of martial arts? Like, where the fuck did that come from? Like, there's no explanation to it. They just all of a sudden, yeah, we're kicking ass. And this is what I was got in my notes, because this is what I was saying about the drug stuff, which happened before these things we just discussed. I was like, so these are Chinese ninja who are going to deal super cocaine to get everyone hooked, then take away the cocaine, force people to go to church. Crazy.
Yeah. If you know that lad like that, it's even weirder than it is in the film when you stop and break it there.
Yeah. Right, so he kills his brother, right? Doug kills his brother. His brother might have been Sam, not the other guy, to be honest. I can't remember. And the Carol's fighting off a load of ninja herself, kicking their asses. And then another one comes out with a samurai sword, looks like a katana. She's like just standing there, and he slashes her down the chest. And I'm like, she didn't try to move. She just stood there and took it. And then she's spewing up blood. And coughing to death, and they're having this conversation, Doug and her. He's got her in his arms and they're talking, and then it cuts to the ninja who are there, and they're all fucking crying. Like, I'm like, you just killed her, why are you crying? And then he loses his temper, and what was funny about this scene is he loses his temper, and then it just turns into this velociraptor. Then you see the suit properly. This is funny. My 18-year-old kid came down just before this start happened. He was drinking a cup of tea. He was sitting by there drinking a cup of tea, right? Saw what happened. Saw this guy turn into a raptor. Fucking almost choked on his tea while fucking seeing this happen, because it was so fucking stupid and bad. He just left the room.
Oh,
I think there was like tea or coffee, I can't remember which it was, over the table as well. I keep saying tea, but we all had coffee. I don't like tea. I'm not very British, am I? Yeah, same here. And then the mannequin head returns in the next scene. The Chinese bald guy, he comes out of the tent himself after the Doug turns into a raptor and kills all the other ninja. He comes out of the tent and they go to fight. And he shoots him with an arrow, in the leg. And he's like, this is an anti-venom that stops you from becoming a... dragon warrior. So I don't understand why he's considered a raptor if he's a dragon warrior. He should be a dragon guy. I don't fucking know. And so he's like stuck on the floor in agony. The Chinese guy's wiggling the arrow, laughing in his face. And some of the laughs in this entire film are so over the top, especially Doug's brother.
Oh, yeah.
Just fucking so stupid.
There's a bit where he's laughing. It's like, ha, ha, ha. And it just carries on and on.
Yeah. There's one point where he stops laughing. Oh. And then they start again within like a few seconds. But the Chinese guy is then like saying, yeah, this anti-venom will nullify your powers. You won't be able to do anything. And then all of a sudden he goes, yeah, but I think my hands are immune. And then like just rips the guy, grabs the guy by the head. Got the Chinese guy by the head. And then you can see it goes to a different shot. And you can see it's a mannequin head. You're like, oh, the mannequin head has returned. And then he just grabs him and rips his head off. And it looks part of, like there's all like bits dangling from the head. And you're like, oh, so that bit looks all right. The mannequin head looks stupid. But then he turns the head around and it's a normal mannequin head, big blue eyes. But he's got these giant bushy eyebrows.
It looks nothing like the god.
Just a massive fucking, it looks like a white, blue-eyed woman mannequin. And for some reason, yeah, it's got massive eyebrows. And I was like, I don't remember the Chinese guy having massive eyebrows anyway. It's so daft. It is so daft. I genuinely, while this film was shit, I had a real laugh out of it. It's one of these films where like, this is crap, but it's also so funny.
Obviously, I think this film deserves an award from us. And I think it's the Pugsley Crew Review's best shit film.
Definitely up there, yeah.
Of all the films we've watched that are knowingly shit,
yeah,
this is the one that I've found the most enjoyable. More than Fatal Deviation, more than any of them, this is the best shit film we've seen.
Yep, best shit film we've seen so far. The film doesn't quite end there. The film ends with him getting Carol, even though she's dead, getting her to a hospital in America, doctors somehow saving her. I'm assuming it's meant to be America anyway. It might just be like a back alley doctors in China. Doctor saving her, and he's like, how are you? And she's like, I'm all right. And then he says it to her again quietly, how are you? And she goes, I'm all right. And then I'm sure he says something like, you sure? And then it just, the screen stops with a text on the screen going, she's all right. It's fucking daft, but obviously it says this at the end of the film is them talking, saying like the church is not going to stop it. He's got $1 billion bounty on him, and so on and so forth. And I was like, ah, right, okay. And there is a Velocipasta 2.
There is.
There is a sequel.
Oh wow.
There is, yeah. I can double check. I'm sure it's. Sure, it's set in Milan. It's just called Velocipasta 2. Velocipasta 2.
Oh, wow. I thought it was going to be one of the things where it ended with a, you know, there'll be another one and there wasn't, but oh, wow.
No, there is a sequel. I have no idea if it's the like same kind of silliness or anything, because I just don't know. I'm not sure if it is it even out. It's gotta be out. Need to come out. Like maybe it's in the middle of being made or something. I don't know. There's a trailer for it. But
I was gonna say there's an IMDb page for it.
Yeah, there is, but I can't see no release date, no runtime, no nothing. So,
no.
So maybe apparently, it's in the process.
As of May 2024, more than $120,000 have been raised to make it. So I'm assuming it's
It's like a Kickstarter kind of thing, yeah. Oh, that's a shame. Hopefully that comes up soon. I'm going to watch it.
I'd throw him a few quid.
If that comes out in cinema, I'm going to go to the cinema and watch it. I take the missus so she could be annoyed at me even more. You're wasting good money. Go to see this in the cinema. That's what she'll say. And I'm like, no, don't hit me. It's been in the cinema. I'm trying to eat my popcorn. But in all seriousness, she would probably be pissed off. I was like, come on, we're going to go watch a film. And then it was the Velocipasta 2. Because, like, my missus is like, she hasn't got the same sense of humor as me where I can watch a film like this and have a good laugh. If she thinks the film is shit, the film is shit. Yeah. And that's about it. Like, whereas I can watch a film and if it's shit, but it's funny, then that's good enough for me, you know?
Oh yeah, I'm very much, once I've started watching something, it's got to be horrendous for me to stop. I've watched nearly everything through to the end.
Yeah. But yeah, we're going to be ending in a second. Is there anything you would like to add about this film?
Just that if you've got Amazon or another way you can watch this, I recommend it. It is the best shit film in a long, long time.
Yeah, it is great. I do think Samurai Cop is another great one, though. And that's because I think this plays up the comedy aspect, so it's funny in that regard. Whereas the other one is different in that I think that's meant to be serious. But it's just fucking awful. In a good way. So yeah, I would agree with Kurt. You should definitely check this out. I would rate this. See, the thing is I would rate this film quite low for like a lot of it, like 4 out of 10 for it in some ways. But because of the like silliness of it and like how fucking daft it is, I would give it like a 7 or 8, probably 8 out of 10 for this film. Which if you watch this film and you say, you'd be like, Peds, how the fuck can you give this film 8 out of 10? And it's because it made me laugh a fuck ton, even if it doesn't make sense sometimes.
As a cinematic masterpiece, this film would get 3 out of 10. As something to throw on with your friends and have a few beers and just piss yourself, I'd give it an 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
It all depends. If you know what you're getting into with it, if you're looking for a Citizen Kane, this isn't it. If you're looking for some daft, switch your brain off fun, you can't do much better than this.
Yeah. This is definitely one. I say this about every film we've watched, more or less. Like, just watch it. It's worth watching, even if don't like it. It's worth giving a film a go. But this film is like one of the films I've watched that's like, yeah, you should definitely watch it because it's so bad, it's good. It's that kind of film. Whereas like Home Alone is a good film, you should watch that because it's a good film. Samurai Cop, so bad, it's good. Cocaine Shark. So bad is bad. Don't watch it. Don't watch it. This
exactly,
watch.
Exactly, yeah.
But yeah, definitely check this out, guys. But that is going to be us for now. We'll be back hopefully in a fortnight, maybe a month, and see what else I break. Anyway, take care of yourself, everyone, for watching. Thank you, and bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, Kurt, and thank you for taking part again.
Right. See you soon. Take care.
Bye, all.
Bye.
Yo, Jerry! If you stuff dicks in your mouth like you're doing that sandwich, I'd be a fucking millionaire by now!